like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. We here at Take Time for Jesus appreciate those that have wrote to us, and we pray that God's blessing to be upon you and with you and meet all your needs spiritually, physically, and financially. We hope that things that goes well with you with this virus that's going around. But my friend, I can't emphasize them enough or too much about the things that are troubling the world today is the fulfillment of God's word that perilous times would be upon us. We see these things happening, but yet a lot of people are not paying no attention simply because they want to do their thing regardless. It was just here when this virus started out that the spring breakers and come down from wherever they would come from and wanted to crowd into the beaches of Miami, and they wanted to warn them about it and said, who cares about it? If we get it, we get it. So about four of them around in the Tampa Bay area come down with the virus. My friends, this is nothing to play with. It's something that we need to pay attention to. And if we got God on our side, we'll be all right. But if you're just going out there to fulfill the lust of the flesh and your self-indulgence and this and that and one thing or another, just to satisfy your old self and to do your thing, as the old saying goes, you're going to wind up in trouble, regardless of whether the virus is around or where you get put in jail or whatever. The consequences of sin is going to be death, my friend. The finality of it is death, to be cast into outer darkness without any hope, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and from God himself, is going to be worse than any virus or anything that could be come along, because that means that you spend eternity in hell and there's no outlet. So my wife's got something other here that she wants to read to you, but we're not a gloom and doom. We just want to warn you, my friends, about the things that are around and about us, everyday life, and to get you to understand and be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's coming nearer and nearer each hour, each day. So be prepared, watch and pray, seek after God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body, and be prepared on that day when he comes at the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel splits open there and the graves open and them remain to be alive will be caught up together to be with the Lord. My friend, it's going to take being concentrated on Lord, on God and serving him, and not and I see a thing of pleasures or seeking after that more than after God. Pray and seek God. Put him first in your life, and he'll hold you up and lift you up and take care of your needs. I believe that with all of my heart. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. He's taking care of me, and he says he has no respect of person. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you too. But you got to pray and seek God for his way and his will and to be done in your life. Here's my wife.
Praise the Lord. I consider it an honor to be able to bring what the Lord's laid on my heart. It's end time. We are at the end time. Every day you see things happen. And if you take your Bible in the newspaper and listen to the news, you'll see that there things are happening. But I want to, this is for preparation for Christ's return. There are two groups that we refer to in considering the time of his coming. Those who are aware and those who are not aware. Luke 21:34-35 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this world, and so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. In Matthew 24 and Luke 21 are synonymous to the account relating to Christ's return. The warning of the Lord's coming and the time of the judgment are punctuated. Notice to us, his coming will take us unaware, just as it on the unsaved. Yes, the Christians could be affected by what has infected the world. Matthew 24:44, therefore, be you also ready in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The scripture seems to imply when our Lord does come that there will be some who have lost their ability to reason or think. Any reasonable person who reads these scriptures in the daily newspaper is aware that it is the last days. The bride-to-be is longingly waiting and anticipating her Lord's coming. The perils that swirl around her do not inundate her expectancy for his soon coming. In Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he will come and will not tarry. The bride is watching with prayer, watching with perseverance, watching with longing to go home, and watching with desire to see occupy until he comes in Luke 19:13. The Christian had made well aware of the approaching end times. It is no time for drowsiness or slumber in Romans 13:11. The Christian traveler sojourning through this life at an ever-quickening pace must be alert enough to see the signs along the way. We should take heed to the signs and proceed accordingly, taking time to read the information on the signs and let them direct us, even though we may think we know the correct way. God has placed on the way, and now he is alerting us in a dramatic way that there are these are the end times, that many prophetic utterances have come to pass, just as the prophets of old declared to by inspiration that they would, should be reason enough for us to heed prophetic warnings of the soon return of Christ. The many prophecies predicting and detailing his life come to pass to the smallest details, and so also will he come again, as the scripture declared. There's no reason for us to be taken by surprise or for us to be unprepared for his appearance. Many biblical evidences are before us. Now it is up to us to believe, accept his redemptive provision, look for his return, and prepare to meet him in the sky. And that day is coming, and we never know when. So as I always say, today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come for any of us. May the Lord bless you and write to us. Let us know that you're listening out there, and we're not wasting our time. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's not the idea of wasting our time, but it's other methods and things that we could be doing, true enough, but nevertheless, I don't consider it a waste of my time. I don't think my wife meant it that way, but we do appreciate those that do answer us and write to us, and it's encouraging to us, and that's my main goal, is to encourage you to look up, for Jesus is coming soon. The things that Jesus spoke to the apostles about in Matthew 24 is already, the signs are already happening, my friend. It's been going on for quite some time, but the world seems to be got into a null of a sleepiness because Satan has got them all bound under things of their flesh. They looking to have pleasure, looking to be else except seeking after the kingdom of God. We need to understand that God has got a prepared way to do things, and it's going to be done according to his will and not the ways that man may think. But we understand that we need to be prepared. We read the scriptures there when Jesus was telling them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I believe it was speaking about the 10 virgins. There was 10 virgins, and they were all virgins. They were 10 of them, and 5 wise and 5 foolish. Now, the 5 wise kept their lamps burning bright, the oil in the lamp. That's why I'm saying that you need to be aware of what's going on, keeping the oil in your light and your light burning bright. Keeping all of the things that that contains to being and watchful and waiting for the bridegroom. To worry in the bridegroom. You know that how that a man and a woman anticipates and they set a marriage date, and it seems like it just gets longer and longer until that final day. It comes and it just seems like it's only been just a few days until everything is fulfilled. My friend, Jesus is coming soon. There's no doubt about it. All of these signs and these things are happening around and about in the world today is a fulfillment of the gospel wherein that he spoke to the apostles about the times of the end, that there was wars and rumors of wars. There was kingdoms against kingdoms, people turning from one another, hating one another, seeking after pleasures, fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And all these things are there. They're looking for the things and this business, they call it protesting and everything. The Bible calls it routing. And they are protesting this and protesting that, but it's all for their good and nothing that they'll protest that will glorify God. They'll just go ahead, and if they don't open the church to some people, it would mean nothing to them. It would be just good for them. But there are some people that would love to see the church open. I would myself, but nevertheless, we got to understand that God gave us enough of sense if we would use just common horse sense, as we called it back in my young days in the country. We called it common horse sense, to know that you don't go stick your hand in the fire except you want to get burnt. So going and sticking your hand into something other than knowingly that you're going to get hurt, to me, that's not using good sense. That's being on the side of the jackass, and he didn't have no sense. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in that God has placed in us a place in our heart that we could serve him and help and serve him in the beauty of holiness. But there's some people now that they claim that they're Christians. And there's a lot of false teachings and false doctrines going on, which Jesus told the apostles about. Be aware, lest you be overtaken in your surface in that with your pleasures and your life and lifestyle and all these things that the world has to offer. People are driving hundreds of miles or fly and spend much money to go to some of these events around and about the world, and they won't even go to church, my friend. And they'll say, well, all the preacher wants is money. Well, it takes money, my friend, I know. And some of them are millionaires, and I understand all that. And I call them entrepreneurs. Now, the Bible teaches that he would supply our needs, and but some of them has got over and abundantly. And they're kind of like the man was that he was rich and his barns was old and tear down and he had plenty. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and build new ones and then store it all up. And then I'll tell my soul, take it easy. You got provisions, in other words, enough to last you for years and years. Friend, you've got to understand that these things that are in the world today are just part of the things that are fulfilling God's word. We've got the earthquakes is more frequently now and then they have been in the years past. They've got the storms and the fires and all these things are part of the tribulations that we're going through at this time. But Jesus told them about all these things and warnings and everything. But he goes on and said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will turn dark. And the moons refuse to shine. But this is going to be the wrath of God, my friend, being poured out upon them sinners and ungodly. Them that didn't keep their lights shining, didn't keep oil in the lamp, and they come to the knocked on the door there and said, after they was late getting there, and they said, let us in. He said, "Go, I don't know you." But them that had their lights filled with oil and the lights burning, they went in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But those foolish virgins come back later, but they didn't get in. As it was in the days of Noah, you look around and how that the places of has gotten out of hand, how violence is running rapidly over the world and all kinds of things are happening. People killing one another. They're destroying babies before they're even born. They're doing these things. They're going into places and on the elders and the younger ones, going in there and robbing them and killing them and all these things like that. It's a part of the tribulation that we're going through. But my friend, when Jesus takes the church out, his bride off, and that's going to be troublesome around the camp. Because when Noah entered into the ark, it was a type of the rapture. And Jesus told him, he said, Noah, come into the ark. Noah was in the ark there for 7 days, and the door stayed open, but nobody entered therein. But my friend, when the door was shut, and the clouds gathered, and the lightning flashed, and the thunder roared, and the water began to fall, I don't doubt that there was a prayer meeting going on in every place that they could be get on their knees at, and that was all around. But it was too late. They didn't even realize what was happening until the flood had carried them away. My friend, it's come to the time that we're going to go into, in that awful time that when the Lord comes, and when the rapture comes and he takes his bride out, is different from the second coming of our Lord when he comes and puts his foot on Mount Olive and it cleaves away east and west, or north and south, I mean. It's going to be troublesome times. There's going to be troubles that never been before, according to the word of God, that never been since man's been on the face of the earth. So we need to understand, we need to be prepared. We need to get it right now, because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know if I'll be a living tomorrow. Neither do you. No man does. I don't know the day and the hour that the Lord's going to come to take his bride home. But I do believe that it's absolutely closed, even at the door. Closer than it's ever been, my friend, because all the things that are being fulfilled, and the Bible shows me, and all these things, and I look about and seeing these things happening, the signs in the heavens and the earth and the sea beneath and everything, they claim they're finding that they've never seen before, didn't even know existed. They see the signs in the heavens that they don't understand always. They try to make up something or other, a black hole and this and that one thing or another, kind of like a Buck Rogers movie it used to be when I was a boy and they had it in the funny book. And they're trying to make it a reality. They want to go from here to other worlds. And I just don't know that that's going to be. But nevertheless, there's no one place I want to go after I leave this world. I want to be in the presence of my God. I want to be there, and I'd like to see you there too. We'll know one another, I'm quite sure, because we'll know that. Because God will give it to us, the knowledge of these things, when we make it into the kingdom. And when he sets up his kingdom, it ain't going to be like this old world here today. He said he was going to make everything new, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. My friend, I want to be in that part. I want you to be in that part. But it's going to take us constantly seeking after God. We can't play church. We're going to have to get down to business with God and seek after him and the kingdom of God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body, giving him praise and honor day and night, looking to his return there for his bride. To be prepared, keep our light shining, keep oil in our lamp, being filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and look into that coming of our Lord and our Savior, the groom to become after his bride, because it's coming soon. Be prepared, my friend. Don't be nollygagging around there in the cares of this world and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And as Peter was writing to Timothy 3:16, he made mention about these things. He come to the place there that we're in that they would seek after pleasures and more than seeking God. It would come to the place that we're in that they would be there lovers of self. And you take a lot of people love themselves. And covetous, they covet everything. They want this, they want that. Boasters, they boast on whatever they can do or what they've got or whatever and everything. And then they'll come there and proud. Oh, my Lord. There's some people so proud that, I don't know, it looks like he'd fall over himself trying to stand up under pride. But blaspheming, that's happening, my friend. They blaspheme people all the time. They're saying derogatory things against them that are good and blaspheming God and calling them all kinds of slander and vanity and all that kind of stuff and vulgarity and all. It's part of that blaspheming. Disobedience to parents. Oh, my Lord. That's something other that when it come into style when they got that business with this old boy that had him. You can't whip a child. You just got to talk to him. Talking don't always get it done, my friend. Right. Sometimes it takes a paddling on the backside. I know my mama used to tell me, boy, you get ready to be going to church. And I'd cry and wham around. And I wanted to stay there and play with the boys and everything that their parents never went to church, never carried them to it. So I wanted to be with them. But my mother told me, says, you get ready to go to church like I told you. And if I him hauled around a little bit, I got me a good old hickory stick whooped on me on my backside. And I learned real quick when mama said, get ready, let's go to church. And I got ready to go to church. And I'm glad. I thank God every now and then that I was born to a mother that cared enough about me to teach me something about him that I could know something about him. I just praise God for it and thank him. But other boys, is some of them, they never did go to church to my knowledge. I don't know what happened to some of them. But I'm here at an old age, and I'm proud of the fact that I know this Savior, this man called Jesus. As Paul said, I'm glad for the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's power unto salvation, giving God praise and glory. I'm not ashamed of him, and I'm just glad that he's not ashamed of me. I'm glad that he cared enough for me that he died on Calvary's cross, gave his life and shed his blood. He didn't have to. But my friend, you and I was Gentiles out of the commonwealth of Israel, had no part of anything. We were not even considered to be a people, but looked at as dogs. And we was there. And God had mercy on us. And he brought forth and he gave his only begotten son full of grace and truth and came and taken yours and my sins upon him and our iniquities and nailing them to the cross. The veil in the temple was rent to where whosoever will, Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come and drink the waters of life freely. He tore that partition down, done away with that division there and brought it forth. Or we was not a people. Now he said we're the children of God. I'm glad, my friend. I'm proud to know this man called Jesus. I'm proud to know that God himself came down here and died on Calvary's cross that we're in, that I could have salvation. Because if it had not have been for that, we would have been lost without any hope under a curse of death, as the scripture teaches us. But praise God, through Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope in him that one day we will see him and be like him, see him as he is. My friend, it's the place to worry in that God will bring forth when he comes, and he will call out. And the archangel would gather us up to meet him, and them that remain to be alive will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Don't let some of these people come around and tell you that the first resurrection has happened. It happened there. It was many times, many raised from the dead and walked and were seen on the streets of Jerusalem there when Jesus died. But that was not the first resurrection that John wrote about in the revelation there of Jesus Christ. When the dead in Christ shall rise, and they which remain to be alive will be caught up together. They are, them in the grave is going to come from corruption to incorruption. Them that are mortal be from mortal to immortality and be changed in a moment of that. My friend, it's come time we need to be prepared to go at any time, any moment that when the Lord calls. He may call you before the sun goes down on you the next day. I don't know. He may call me, but I want you to know that if we'll be prepared and if we yet remain to be alive at his coming and hear the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel and a shouting out that the Lord appears, that he comes in the clouds to receive his bride, I want you to be ready. I want to be ready. I praise God for the hope that I have in Christ Jesus, that being prepared and looking and seeing these things being fulfilled in the scriptures, we know that the time is nigh because they're coming to be fulfilled. When the people come to be, the children are so disobedient to parents now, they tell the parents, well, go ahead and whip me. I'll call the law on you and everything. But it's got out of hand, my friend. It's all in the Bible. It's all being fulfillment that the time would come. Disobedience to parents. Unthankful. There's a lot of people that you can do anything you can for them, but they're just about as unthankful as anything can be. And then when they come up there, they're unholy. They ain't got a bit of pride at all towards God. They've got it all on themselves. And without holiness, no man will see God. Then it comes to the place there without natural affections. You find people that today is they haven't got no natural affection for some people, or may have for extra few and far between, but they don't care about some of the things that's happened. Some of the people there don't care whether they spread this virus around and other people catches it or not. They just don't care. They have no morals thing about their fellow man. They don't care what happens to him. It's just me first deal. That's all it is. Truth breakers. Man, there's a lot of people now that tell you one thing, turn right around before the sound gets out of their voice, they done broke their promise to you or whatever. And then incompetence. There is a lot of people that way. They just ain't got no confidence in God. They ain't got nothing but in themselves. They got it's me. That's all they want. Me first. They'd be going down the road 75 miles an hour and somebody running there at the speed limit at 70 on the interstate, and they just got to get around him no matter what. That I got to be first. And he gets ahead of that when there's somebody else. And the first thing you know, they're in a crash and somebody gets hurt. It's plumb innocent of the deal. And they come out there, maybe get a fine or a ticket or something or other, or maybe get seriously hurt or killed. It just ain't worth it, my friend. Obey the law of the land is what the Bible teaches us. And obey them that have rule over you. That's what the Bible says. But all this show protesting because they can't get out and do their thing and go to Disney World and play ball and get out and half naked at the beach and all these things. They don't like that. I want to do my thing and everything. And they get out there, and I'm afraid that it's going to cover a spread of this stuff, and it's going to be devastating more than it was. But, you know, I thank my God to know that the Bible teaches me that the name of the Lord is a strong tower to where the righteous can go into and are saved. I thank God to know that He'll put a hedge about you. He'll protect you if you trust Him. If you pray and seek after Him, put Him first in your life, He'll take care of the rest of it, and He'll supply your needs. But if you're seeking after the pleasure of this life, seeking after the fulfillment of the lust of the flesh and all these things, and don't even consider Him, be aware, my friend, trouble is down the road, and it'll catch up to you, and it'll be more than you can bear. Sin will wind up, and sin bringeth forth death. Death bringeth forth being cast into outer darkness, being cast into hell with all the false prophets and all the liars, whoremongers, murderers, and these things, thieves, and all them. It'd be cast into outer darkness, into the pits of hell, where they'd be tormented night and day. The soul never dies, but the fire is never quenched. But my friend, when you come to the place and surrender your life to the Lord and call and be called one of His children, and He catches you away into the rapture, we call it, and catching the way of the bride of Christ, the church of the living God, which He purchased with His own blood. It's not the denomination hanging up over the door, my friend. It's the church of the living God that we're in, that He purchased with His own blood. That's the born again, as He told Nicodemus, that he marveled. He said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God was standing there before Nicodemus, and he was supposed to be a priest there. My friend, when he told him, marvel not that I say that a man must be born again, or he would in no wise enter therein. Nicodemus said, I'm an old man. Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? He said, if you don't understand carnal things, you'll never understand the spiritual thing. Marvel not. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit, baptized in the name of Jesus, and therefore be filled with the Holy Ghost, as God, Jesus told the apostles to tarry there. They tarried for 10 days there in the upper room until the promise of the was fulfilled there, and they come forth there, and the sound of a rushing wind come in, and they were all sitting there. and clothed in tongues of fire set upon each and every one of them, and they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, my friend. There's a lot of spirits out there, but only one Holy Ghost, and that is the Spirit of the living God, any way you want to look at it. It's the Holy Ghost, my friend, but a lot of people ashamed of that. I hear them now, even to the churches today, they come to be politically correct. They say Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed to call him the Holy Ghost, because that's what he is. He's my spiritual guide and my leader. He dwells within him. He said the Holy Ghost would dwell within us. To know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So why be ashamed of it? Some of them don't even want him to speak in tongues when that's one of the nine gifts that Paul goes on to speak about. Oh, but they don't have anything because they can't even know the right from the wrong. They don't know what is and what ain't. But if you have the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost in you, it'll let you know what is and what ain't. My friend, it's come to the time, and Brother McGee used to say, the rubber's hit the road. The rubber's been on the road for a long time. The brakes is about to be applied, and Jesus is going to show up, and he's going to take his bride out, and it's going to be shame on them that's left behind. And that movie that Hollywood come out with, that them left behind, and they built some gigantic steel-structured boat is supposed to survive them all of the rich and everything. And there, but I want you to know that the flood restored everything but that ark, and God had his hand around it. Thank God for that. Knowing his family of eight was there and all the animals that were there, they had safety, and they floated on the top of the water, that flood there. But my friend, the Bible says, Peter goes to say that when the heavens would pass away with a loud racket, and the elements shall melt with a fervid heat. So if some nut gets to be and thinks he's going to build him a structure that not won't be destroyed when the Lord comes, he's barking up the wrong tree, my friend, because with fervid heat, if it's made out of steel, it'd be like jumping in an oven there, because it'd get so hot that it's going to melt anyway. So you're not going to escape it. No one's going to escape the wrath of God. The only way that you can escape the wrath of God is being born again, being a part of the kingdom of God, being in that time when he comes to take his bridegroom. You need to be in the bride. You need to be born again, serving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body. That's the only way you're going to escape the wrath of God. Them people that's going to me first and me, I want mine, I want my gusto, and I want this and I want that. And they'll do anything to accomplish what they want to do in the flesh, but they consider God nothing. It's going to come a time that when after the churches took off and the old man of sin, the Antichrist, stand in the holy place, declared himself to be God. It's going to be too wet behind the barn to plow, my friend. It's going to be trouble such as never was on the world since man's been on it, or since it began, neither hereafter. But there come a time. The Bible says that there would come scorpions out of the smoke and the torments of hell, and they'll sting men for 5 months. Man will seek death, and death will flee from him. This is going to be a part of the tribulation, or the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon them that's going to be left behind. My friend, it's time to get it right. It's time to understand that God is a servant God. He don't need us, but we need him desperately. He can do without us. I don't know how he existed before he ever made man. I don't know how long, but in the beginning, and therefore consider such as you and I. He expects us to serve him, but the time will come that you may not think it is necessary, and you may think you got by and you didn't want to serve him, but the time comes when you need him and he's not there. You wished you'd have called on him while it was time. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late for any of us. The Lord could come at any time. That all of the signs and the things are fulfillment there on us. There's only one thing that about really needs to be fulfilled, and that's for them to build the temple, bring that peace agreement with the Palestinians and Israel over there, and that temple being built, and therefore, because the temple will be built. Whether you believe it or not is immaterial to me. I believe it's going to be, and so does a lot of other people. It's fulfillment of the scriptures. And when that temple is built, and they go back to the animal sacrifice, and the old man of sin, the Antichrist, stands up in the midst of it in 3.5 years and tell them they done do away with all that, and he's here to declare himself to be God, my friend, it's going to be trouble in the camp. It's going to be trouble such as never was before, because he's going to make war with the saints. Them that believe, and you're a Gentile, my friend, the only way that you're going to have any option there is you're going to have to lay your head on the chop block, or however it may lie. Stand for Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give away with him. Stand for him, and stand on his promise that he can give you eternal life. Even though they take your life, you'll save your life. But if you try to save it, you're going to lose it. So beware of the things in the Bible. Read your Bible, as I've often said. Read it to find out for yourself. Just don't take my word or no word from any other man. Just read the Bible. Encourage you to read your Bible, to the Word of God, and find out what it has to say. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek after him with your whole heart, and find your place in him. And he's got a place for you. He's got something for you and I to do, and that's spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, my friend, the time is drawing nigh. I don't mean to be a gloom and doom preacher, but I just want to warn you. As the Lord God told Ezekiel there, he said, I make you a watchman on the wall. And when you see the sword coming and you warn the people and they take heed and they save themselves, that's well. But if you don't, if you warn them and they take not heed and they die in their sin, their blood will be on their hand. But, oh man, if you don't warn them, then I'm going to require their blood on your hands. My friend, I don't want your blood on my hands. I'm going to warn you to take heed to the scriptures, fulfilling the word of God is being fulfilled in our very eyes today. And we look back when Jesus told them that the time when they was looking at Solomon's temple there and how glory and how honor and how beautiful it was, he said there come a time when there won't be a stone left on top of another. And they came in there. Tiberius came in there. The Romans came in there and destroyed it and turned over everything looking for the gold they said was between the holding the blocks together. And they destroyed it in 70 A.D. And since then, since Jesus came and died for our sins, the time has begun to be in the end time, my friend. It just didn't happen, started yesterday, and it ain't going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow may be the last. Tomorrow may be the time that the Lord will come. My friend, it's not going to tarry too much longer. He's getting his bride ready. He's getting everything set up. I believe that place that he told us that he would go and prepare, I believe it's about finished, if it's not already finished. And he said it's going to be a city of light, as John seen it. And he said it was coming down out of the heavens there, wherein there was a city of light, 1,500 square miles there. He seen it coming down out of heaven. But he's going to, Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All these old things we see now that man has created, that the devil is filtrated around in, it's going to be done away with. It's going to be swept clean. There'll be a new, everything will be brand new there as it was. And when it first come, God looked at it when he said it was, when he finished up the creation, he looked on it and said it was good. He put man on the face of the earth to tend to a garden. So I don't think you're going to be flying around on a cloud and floating around and going from here to there, just blinky-eyed, you're there or whatever, and eating angel food cake and doing nothing. I believe we're going to have a something to do in the kingdom there. Adam had he was a gardener there. He was going to take care of the garden, but he got sidetracked because Eve was his helpmeet, And he seen her when she partook of this forbidden fruit, and God told him when they took of it, they would surely die. Well, maybe Adam looked and thought maybe, well, she's going to lay down and die here, ain't it? And I don't want to be left alone. I just go along with her, and I'll take it and die with her. But they lived to be somewhere close to 800 years, my friend, there. But my God, they was out of the presence of God. They had to seek after him. They had to repent and come to the Lord. We know that how Abel, he sacrificed a lamb unto God, something that had life and blood in it. How Cain came along and brought his substance that he had growed in the garden there and everything. God would have accepted it if he would have done the things that was right, but instead jealousy arose in him and he killed Abel, and the blood of Abel cried out for revenge on that him. But he sought after, he was an outcast and cast out into another foreign land there where he met his mate. Some people said it was a monkey, but that wasn't right. It was a man, another woman there of a different and everything. But God didn't stop at Adam and Eve. He didn't stop there. There was the thing after the garden had been closed off from them. Man was there. God put other people around about, evidently, because when Cain went over into Nod, he found his helpmate. And there they prospered there as long as God had them to live. My friend, it's come to the time we need to read the Bible and find out for sure what it says. Not take some of these people's fancy words and fair speech and smooth talking that'll tell you about anything to get their hand in your wallet and everything. I'm telling you right now, be prepared. Jesus is coming soon. And if you're not ready to go in the catching away of the bride and you be left behind, you're going to suffer some great tribulations. You're going to suffer in the wrath of God. You may have to give your life to even be saved there, my friend. It's nothing there. There's no repentance is going to be. You just have to forfeit your life for salvation. Stand in the presence of the devil himself and deny him and serve God and say, I pledge my allegiance to my Lord and my God, Jesus the Christ. And they'll kill you for taking that stand, but you'll be saved your life. But if you stand there and the man tells you, if you don't deny this Lord Jesus, you call him, I'm going to kill you, or cut your head off and everything. And you say, oh, no, don't do that. You're going to lose your life anyhow. Because in the finalities of it, when the judgment day comes and the death, hell, and the grave gives up the dead, and all that is there is going to stand there. The name, the book's going to be opened, and they're going to be, their works is going to be read out to them. And then the Lamb's Book of Life and the foundation of the world, it's going to be opened up. And if your name is not recorded as being born again in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be cast into outer darkness. You're cast into hell along with the devil and all of his cohorts, you might say. All the liars, cheaters, adulterers, whoremongers, and all these here things. These things that in the days of Lot, there was all this here things going on, marriage and giving a marriage, all even in times of Noah. There's the things that are going on right today. But in Lot's day, the Sodomites, there in Sodom and Gomorrah, there was men with men and women with women, and they even wanted to go into the angels of the Lord there that came to spy out on them, you might say, to check out things. And they know what was going on, but they wanted to even have sex with them. But they blinded them, and they got got Lot out and his two daughters and his wife had to look back. That's the problem. A lot of people are looking back to the things of the world. They will get one more look before it goes off. But they look back and they don't see them. They're no longer. They waited too long. My friend, and she turned to a pillar of salt. It's all there in the Bible. Read it. Some people would contradict you about it, but read it for yourself and believe what the Word of God has to say about it. It wasn't put there just to be make you feel good. It was put there to help you get from here to glory, to be in the kingdom of God, to bring you to the place to where you know this man called Jesus, the Lord God of glory, the one that created it all by Jesus Christ. It was all void within dark, without any hope, shape or form. It was in darkness. But God's light shined onto it and brought forth. And it brought forth. And he looked good at his creation and said it was good. And he made man to put it on him to take care of it. But man has failed miserably because Adam sold us out to the devil because of one disobedience. How many times have you disobeyed your things that you're supposed to be obedient to? How many times you men disobeyed your wife? How many times your wife disobeyed your husband? How many times your children disobeyed? How many times did you disobey mom and dad? How many times did you break the law of the land and go forth to do your own thing? It's all there recorded, my friend. It's going to come back to bite you if we don't get it underneath the blood. If we get it underneath the blood by repenting and let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, make us whiter than snow. Though our sins be red as crimson, his blood will make us whiter than snow. He'll forgive us. He'll blot out all of our sins, cast them in the sea behind him, in the sea of the Nib. But the devil is a deep sea diver. He'll go and bring them back to you from time to time to make you remember back in those days. But just tell him to go on. It's under the blood. And he'll go. My friend, you've got to understand that God is God all over the world. He's God on the top of the mountain. He's God in the valley. You may be going through some trials and tribulations now. You may end up being in a valley that seems to be deeper and deeper, longer and longer and wider, but endure all until the end comes and you'll be exalted and lifted up in the stand in the presence of God to hear him say, "Well done, my faithful servant. I give you a crown of life." My friend, it's come to the time that we're going to have to stand for the righteousness of God. And if we don't stand for him, we'll fall for anything the devil has to offer you in this world. He offered Jesus all the kingdoms of in the world there when Jesus came and was tempted there in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. He offered him everything. But he took him in the high, exceedingly high mountains, showed him all the kingdoms and the riches of the world. Said, "I'll give you all this if you'll just bow down and worship me." Jesus didn't say it wasn't his to give, because Adam had all turned it over to him. But he said, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before me." Oh, and he won the victory. He won the victory for you and I if we'll just believe him and trust in him. And he will see us through our trials and our tribulations. And he'll walk through this. Because he said, if you let him come in and all, he said, "No, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will abide with you." He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I will go with you even unto the end of the world." My friend, the time is coming. We need God. We need him more now than we've ever needed him before. We've always needed him, but these days that we're living in now, we're in tribulation. We're living in the days that are perilous times. We see these things happening all the time. They're being fulfilled all the time. The things that were in the Lord spoke about is just before his return, but he's getting close to coming, my friend. Oh, look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Seek after, praise, and love your Lord Jesus, and call upon him while that he is near, because tomorrow may be too late. You may be lost without any hope. If you go out into eternity without Jesus, you have no hope. It ain't no second chance. It's there. We've got the chance now. The ones in Noah's Ark, they had the chance to go in, but they didn't go, and they were lost. These that are now, to be in the bride of Christ, you got to be prepared. You got to come forth. You got to repent. You got to be for him and be into the be the part of the bride there. If you miss out on it, the only way that I could even think about that you may be saved, and that's give your life as a testimony for Jesus Christ. But now, while there is yet still time, repent. Come to the Lord on a bending knees at an altar by your bed or wherever there, crying out to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, being godly sorrow for your sins and ask him to forgive you. Oh, I can tell you, just raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and tell you you're on your way. But I can't do that because I don't know you. I don't know you, whether you would hold up to it or not. But I knew though this. When it came to me and the Spirit of the Lord directed me to know that I needed salvation. I needed to call upon the Lord. I went before him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He didn't deceive me. He brought me forth and I had victory in Jesus' name. Oh, that night I slept like a young baby there. Not a care in the world, but before I was in misery, knowingly that if I went out of this world, this life ended in the shape that I was in, I'd be in a devil's hell without any hope. But thanks be unto God through his righteousness and his salvation, through that precious blood that he shed for my sins, not only for mine, but for all that would come unto him and seek after him. He supplied the need. He stood on the day of the last day of the feast, and he stood there, and he stood there with open arms and cried out and said, whoever the thirst, in other words, he that is athirst, let him come unto me and drink of the living water. He's got the living water, my friend, his spirit, the Holy Ghost will bring a life into you that you never thought that could be possible. But it's going to take the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to dwell in you. To be help you to prepare for that time of the bridegroom comes to take his bride home. You want to be in it? Only way I can tell you, my friend, is repent, godly repent, broken heart and calling upon the name of the Lord from the very essence of your soul. Cry it out to him and ask him to forgive you of your sins and cry out in repentance there. We hope we've said something to others that would encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord. I hope that some of you will turn your hearts to him and cry out to him. And I hope that those that know him as your personal Savior, God will be with you and bless you and keep you in the shelter of his arms. Help us, O God, to be that you would have us to be, calling upon the name of the Lord for salvation, repentance, and give praise and honor to him. And he'll look after you. He'll supply your needs. You may sometimes, the devil may think you're lost without any hope. You ain't got no hope, but don't let him fool you. If you have Christ Jesus, you've got all the hope that you'll ever need. Hope in Christ is the only hope that you need, my friend. Without him, you have no hope. With him, you have hope. And don't let the devil deceive you. And these here entrepreneurs that all going around got millions stored up in the bank, they're going to tear the old bank down and build them a new one and sit back and take it easy. But their soul will be required of them and they'd be lose it all. My friend, the Bible says that the rich man will go and cry out, throwing his wealth into the holes with the bats and call for the rocks in the mountain to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. May God bless you and keep you in our prayers. You write to us. Pray for us when you will. And we appreciate all of you that wrote to us. And we just hope and pray that God will bless you and undertake in you and help you in these days that we live, that are perilous times. Be aware, my friend, there's false teachings and doctrines out there. There's only one true church, and that's the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood, and that is the soul of man. May God richly bless you and keep you. Write to us if you will. God bless and undertake. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus. You get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. Time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.